Okay, good evening, YouTube. Does it sound good to say that? I'm very pleased to say we are back, Sam. FPL family is back. FPL is back. The game is live. It's up and running. Has been up and running for the best part of a week now, by the way. So we thought we'd leave it a few days to stew a little bit for all the other content creators to get their stuff out there. And then we'll take all the best bits and tell you about it tonight. Honestly, the content creation this season seems to have gone up a whole nother level. People are properly on it. The first drafts are out there. The game is live. We're back for our seventh season. Guys, if this is the first time you've ever tuned in to FPL Family, thank you very much for joining us this evening. But you're late to the party. This is our seventh year, and we've got people in the live chat, Sam, that have been with us since the beginning, back for our seventh season in FPL. So the game is live, Sam. What is your initial take on it? What is your kind of like, when it got released, what were you like, your immediate thoughts? Because I got some immediate thoughts. I thought it was quite easy to put a team together, I have to say. But you know.
I mean, I had a sneaky peek, didn't I, for the pod?
You did have a sneaky peek, so, and you did very well, as did I think, to keep that off of Twitter and under our hats. Yeah,
and I wasn't allowed to show Lee, so that was quite difficult as well.
To be fair, you've had sneaky peek into a lot. You've been everywhere this week. Like, whenever I've tuned in to a bit of official FPL content, there you are.
Have you seen my face?
I've seen your face a lot this week.
You've not
even been here, and I've seen your face a lot this week. And the first things first, well done to you and to Kelly for doing something brand new, working with the Premier League on Monday's show. The FPL show is back. Can we say that? It's back?
I've
just said it. FPL show is back. It's going to be a thing this season. We missed it last season massively. But the Premier League have decided to bring it back for this year. And the first episode was on Monday with you and Kelly Sommers in the virtual. It's the new kind of virtual environment. So you and Kelly Sommers were totally in green screen, weren't you?
Yes, my first time on a green screen.
Very impressed. I was very impressed with it. It's really good. Really, really good. But yeah, you've done a great job with the show.
Thank you.
Tell me about that as an experience, though, because obviously you and Kelly had a bit of a heads up that the game was going live. You knew some of the prices beforehand. You'd had a bit of a...
No, we didn't know the prices beforehand.
Oh, before that show?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we were told the 20 players.
Nice.
Because obviously we had to do some prep because...
Yeah.
If those players had come up and we had no idea of who they were going to be, we literally would have been just there going...
A bit harsh of you both to figure it out on the fly. Yeah,
like, you know, okay, well, how much was this player last year? And then, because Kelly obviously has an earpiece to the producer, but I don't have that. So we would have been kind of singing blind. So we had... We had the 20 players and I had prepped as much as you can, as in, I found out their prices from the start of last season and I did a little bit of research on kind of how many goals they got, that sort of thing. I was bricking it, wasn't I?
It's a brand new format for the show, right? Brand new format, green screen, just you two. That must have been nerve-wracking,
right? And
on
Sunday, because obviously I couldn't tell you too much about it because I wasn't allowed. And I wasn't allowed because it was kind of all secretive. So I'd gone down there on Monday morning, recorded that show with Kelly, which was brilliant. It was so much fun to be part of. And actually, genuinely, that means that what you saw on that video was completely... It was completely unedited. That was it.
So when they flashed up the prices on the screen, that was the first time you'd seen Haaland being 14, the first time you'd seen Salah being 12.5, and you had to react
just
live.
In the moment.
It was a great concept. I liked it.
It was brilliant. So obviously, I had that. So Monday was brilliant because we'd recorded that in the morning and I got home just before it went live, so I could watch it with you guys and kind of watch the reaction, which was hilarious in the Slack because I commented and the guys were like, "What? Why are you here?" So it wasn't completely live. So that was Monday, and then Monday, about 3 hours after the game, that show went out. Jules, Kelly, and I got access to the dev
to put a team together
for the
whole game.
So that we could put a team together. So we built our teams, the first draft of our teams. It doesn't mean that we've got team ideas 1, 2, and 3, which I know that a lot of people were like, how does this mean?
That'd be ace. Imagine you had team ID 1.
I know. So it didn't mean that. We still had to do it again because it was just in the development system. So we went in, we had access to that, we built our squads. We randomly decided we weren't going to share our teams with each other.
I liked that.
So And that was kind of a decision I think that Jules and I made.
Jules' midfield is unreal, by the way. If any of you haven't listened to the official FPL pod from earlier in the week, it's definitely worth going back and listening to that. Because Jules was... What a guy. He was just like, well, your team's rubbish because I've got Salah and Haaland.
No, he's got Kane.
Oh, I've got Kane and Haaland and I've got Trent. So my team's the best. And then you started talking about the teams. His midfield's got like Curtis Jones. Who else has he got? Some other randomer that's like 4.5 somebody. I don't know.
He's got Sterling.
Sterling's in there.
But no, nobody was above 7.5
no,
in his midfield.
No, correct. But therein lies the point. And we're going to get to that a bit later, guys. Yeah. If you want the big hitters this season... The way that FPL have priced some of these players, you've got decisions to make. Yeah. And I like that.
Yeah,
I personally love the fact that they were like, right, no messing about, Haaland's 14. Forget about it, it's 14. Highest price of a player ever, joint, because I think we've had...
Van Persie, Ronaldo there. And
Thierry Henry. So legends of the game. Legends of the game have been 14. And Haaland is up there at 14. I'm glad they did it because... makes you think a little bit, although I have to say I didn't think too much. Spoiler alert, he's in my team.
It's an 84%.
And he's going to be, isn't he? And I would suggest the other 16% are all auto picks that just haven't bothered
haven't done
their team yet. So he was the first one on my team sheet. And it does feel a little bit like, you know, FPL this year is a bit like pick your squad of 14 with 86 million, doesn't it? That's what it feels like. But yeah. So then you had the podcast on Tuesday.
Yeah, so that was... So Monday night, I waited until you'd gone to football because Lee plays football on a Monday evening. So while he was out, I built my team. And I built so many drafts, honestly. I can't tell you how many drafts I built. And then, so we decided, Jules and I, randomly off our own backs, decided we weren't sharing it. So we were supposed to send them to the producer in our group chat. But for some reason, we both decided to send them privately to him.
Love it.
So we done that.
Love it.
And then, yeah, Tuesday afternoon, we recorded the pod, which was... I mean, those guys are two of my favourite people in all the world.
Pod's going to be back this year in that format with you three.
The three at the helm. Yeah.
Very
back,
good.
Back
nice.
Together
off the
again.
Bench going to be back this season.
Yes, off the bench.
Yes,
back.
Love it. Yeah, all your FPL content's going to be there.
All the good stuff coming back. So the three of us sat down on Tuesday afternoon. We... slated each other's team. Well, actually, Kelly and I didn't slay anything. Jules slated our teams.
Yeah, and then said he got Curtis Jones.
And then told us he got Curtis Jones. So there, we recorded that on Tuesday afternoon. And then obviously on Wednesday, we knew that the pod was going to be released roughly simultaneously with the game going live. So it gave me a bit of a heads up when the pod went live at 2:00. I was like, oh,
yeah.
Okay, the game's coming.
Definitely coming.
Because I didn't know when the game was coming. And so it was a really exciting week. And by the time that Wednesday finished, I must admit, I was like, oh, I'm very tired.
Ready for a lie down.
I'm very tired. But then I couldn't stop making drafts because I reset up my team. Obviously, I got involved in all the chaos that was trying to, you know, team IDs and all of that kind of stuff. Although, annoyingly, I'd sat around waiting for it. And then as I went to leave the house to take Evie dancing, the game went live and I was like, oh my gosh.
I was one of them, I'm afraid to say. I was sitting there at work, sort of F5 in it, you know, refresh, because not that it makes a blind bit of difference what your team ID is, guys, but if you've got a 2-digit team ID or something, get in the chat, let us know. Fair play, I love it. I was there with you. Ended up with a team ID of, 8258, so whatever. You got 3679, so...
While walking out the door. I was literally walking out the door and Evie's game.
We'll
have you got my tap shoes? And I'm like, just wait a minute.
Auto pick. The game.
Chaos. But yeah, it was a brilliant week last week. And thank you, honestly, to the community, but also to the content creators. My WhatsApp on Monday afternoon was like, honestly, one of the nicest places I've ever been.
Because
it was
for
just
you this
so
week.
Much
yeah,
love.
Brilliant.
And everybody was like, you did a fantastic job. It was really good.
Well, you did.
And I got to the end of the day and I was like, I'm really genuinely touched. So if you reached out, thank you, because it did honestly mean a lot to me. And I tried to reply to everybody, but I couldn't reply to everybody. And it was lovely to get all the love from the other content creators as well. So thank you, everybody.
Totally. So new season of FPL Family, you're still half in frame. So we haven't sorted out this camera. Here we go. Look, let's turn it a little bit more towards you. Look, let's get a bit more.
No, now you've got the mic stand.
Oh, no, is that why you put it there? Oh, it was strategic. Oh, okay. There we go. Very good. Sorry, podcast listeners. That means absolutely nothing. Let's say hello to a few people, Sam. Ready to go again. To go again in 23-24. Put ourselves through another several months worth of agony every weekend.
No! It's the best!
Why do we do
it? Where would we be without FPL?
I love it. I've genuinely missed it. I mean, I don't feel like I've had much of a break. What do we have, about 3 or 4 week break? And here we are
again. Speak for yourself, I haven't had any break.
You've not had any break, to be fair. Yeah, absolutely not. Ian Smith. Welcome, Ian Smith, to FPL Family. He is a new joiner. He's a new member for the channel. So, Ian, welcome, welcome, welcome. Very nice to have you along. And if anybody else would like to join the FPL Family YouTube channel, there is a little button that says join next to the subscribe button. So make sure you hit both of those buttons. We'd love to have you along. Love to have you along. There's some perks and some bits and pieces. You get some little emoticons and stuff in there. So if you want to go and join the FPL Family YouTube channel like Ian has done, then we'd love for you to join. Welcome, Ian. Somebody that joined us 16 months ago, Sam. 16 months ago.
Oh, there can only be one man.
There can only be one. It is Nigel the Crab, Mr. Si Badette. How are we doing, Si? He said he'd like to give a shout out to the community. He went through, and we know about this because he's been in the Slack telling us about it. He's been through a bit of a tough time lately. You guys can read it in the chat. The Slack community pulled together for him, no doubt about it. We all got sort of rallied around and we're just sort of making sure he's okay and everything else. And we've had one or two of those sort of scenarios in the FPL Family Slack where genuinely the FPL just kind of goes to one side, stuff happens, and it's genuinely a really great opportunity and a place for people to just come and, you know, share stuff, 100%. Right? Share stuff. So if you, you know, that's not a patron plug. That's just me saying that the Slack has really helped those that are in there, including Si. So Si, welcome back, mate. We know you've been through a tough time. We hope that this gives you a little bit of light relief on a Sunday. It certainly does for us at the end of a week. What's that? The microphone falling over?
Yeah, because you made me move it. It's now sitting on a wire.
Don't blame me for the technical issues.
Well, you moved the camera. Right, how long have we been live for? You've created drama.
10 minutes. 10 minutes, and it's all falling apart. John Tyner is in. Hey, John, how are we doing? Nice to see you. Some familiar names in the chat, as you would expect, Sam. Nice to see Scott Schrager, the OG. And an FPL Family YouTube member. Nice to see you, Scott. Daniel Banks is here. Joseph Maloney is in. We've got Mark Dorney. Very nice to see you, Mark. Ben Allam, hey guys, hope you're both well. Missed you both, missed you too.
Oh, we missed you too. Genuinely have really missed
this. Who else we got? Liam Healy, hey Liam, hey, hope to see you at Fantasy Football Fest.
He's coming
in a couple of weeks. We've got a bit of a slide and a plug for that a bit later on, so we'll talk about Fantasy Football Fest. FPL Harry is in. How are we doing, Harry? Plenty of
Harry.
Content over on FPL Harry's channel. So if you're once you're done with all the guff and waffle here on FPL Family, go over and check out FPL Harry's. He's guff, isn't it, really? What? In it, really? I mean, look at what Harry's doing. He's professional. He's got the right length of video. The thumbnails are on point. He's no waffle.
We've got a new logo. We've not changed it for this stream, notice.
Yeah.
We've got some new other stuff.
Well, there are some new graphics coming. I've just not had time to do it.
We've not done it yet.
But Harry's channel, he's done it. He's bang on point as usual. That's why he's got 100 million subscribers or whatever he's got.
Well, that's also because Harry's younger than us, more energy than us. And Harry doesn't spend half his week not at home anymore like you do.
Well, to be fair, that is probably true. And I'd love to know your thoughts on Chelsea's transfer window so far, Harry. We'll have a chat about that a bit later and we'll talk about transfer windows in a second. But once we're done here tonight, go over to FPL Harry's channel, check him out. If you're not subscribed, you bloody should be. Go and check him out. Matthew Knights is in. He says, I've missed the drama. I can only suggest that Matthew's missed the microphone falling over drama, the camera getting in the way drama, the general lack of any technical polish here on FPL Family, which is absolutely par for the course. 7 seasons in and we still have microphones
How
falling
have we
over.
Been here for 7 years?
I don't know. There's people here listening to us still waffle on after 7 years. I mean, people, come on. Although, to be fair, we did have all right seasons last year, didn't we? The season that I think we both finished the season reasonably strong last year, both in the top 50k. It was all right, wasn't it? It was all right. There is genuinely some FPL knowledge to be shared.
Yeah, but
sometimes.
Okay, so in those 7 years, let's just talk about these 7 years for a minute.
What?
We've done six seasons.
Six
so
seasons
far.
In, yeah.
How many have you won?
Oh, shut up.
How many have you won?
Don't give me that. It's 5-1 to you, but we gloss over that. We gloss over it.
5-1!
Minor detail, isn't it? It's a minor detail. Genuinely, last season was the best overall rank I've finished since we started FPL Family. I still lost. So there we go. That's the best season I've had in 6 years. Still lost. It's so hard to beat you. It's unreal. Nigel is in. Midfield headaches, he says. Yes, there are, Nigel.
I could honestly have like eight or nine midfielders this year.
It is a headache and it certainly feels as if the... Can we use the template word? I suppose we can. The template is sort of moving towards five across midfield, isn't it? I think. unless you want to go for the two premiums, but more chat on
Unless you're Jules Laurent.
Unless you're Jules Laurent. A bit more chat on that later on. Adam Stevo, how are you doing, Adam? Nice to see you. We've got Joanne Halzo in, Mike Parsons.
Ooh, Joanne, Mrs. Yeah. Third in the World last year.
Is she? Ah, we've got
our highest ever female finisher
in the live chat. Joanne, very nice to see you. So she was the highest female finisher in
ever.
FPL.
Ever.
Yeah. By coming third overall last season.
Joanne and I are going to do a video together for the channel in a couple of weeks' time, just
that
before the start of the season.
Imagine being third.
Yeah.
OMG.
That was another highlight of my play season, by the way. He was talking to Joanne for the PL as well.
Nice. Well, welcome along, Joanne. Yeah. Nice to see you. Nice to see you.
She won our mini league last year.
I bet she did third in the world, yeah. Not really many people beating her. Joe Finley Baddett is a name we haven't heard for a little while.
Joe,
welcome back, mate. Nice to see you. He got FPL ID 18, by the way. While he was working in his office. Yeah, I know. F5.
Every time I see Joe on Instagram, he's on holiday.
Is he?
Yeah.
He's one of them, is he? Always on a break.
Well, I suppose you've got to have a...
Even when he's working, he's just refreshing FPL.
I mean, he's a Watford fan, though, so he probably needs a holiday.
You need a break. You need a break. If you're a Watford fan, if you're a Hornet, you need regular breaks.
Yeah,
no doubt
regular
about
holiday.
Sam, we've said hello to everybody. Welcome to FPL Family. Guys, if you're new around here, leave us a like, hit that subscribe button, all that usual stuff that I know all of you will be doing in the live chat for us. Where do you want to start? Should we start with the opening day fixtures?
Okay.
Then we'll start having a look at maybe... So I've got the kind of first six fixtures on the ticker based on best attacking teams, defending teams, that sort of thing. Then we've got first drafts a bit later on, all that sort of stuff. I have been on Scout. And I'll tell you why I've been on Scout a lot over the last week or so since the game launched is because you guys over at Scout... congratulations on your promotion at Scout, by the way.
Thank you.
Bloody good job. I tell you what, the website is looking flames, by the way. The members area is looking hot.
Well.
And FF Community is looking decent.
FF
as well,
Community.
Very, very
has
good.
Been my baby for the last couple of years. And genuinely, it's coming on really nicely. There's some big things coming over there. So look forward to that. Scout new members area should be launching, I'm hoping, soon. If you talk
got a little
to,
plug for you.
There you go.
There you go.
If you,
unplanned.
Poor old Reese is getting it in the neck from me every 5 minutes. When's the new members?
Who's Reese? He's your IT man, isn't he?
Yeah, my tech.
He loves you, he does.
No, he doesn't. He hates me.
When's this ready?
Reese is just like, oh gosh, why have I got Sam to deal with?
If you're watching this video, get in the comments. What's it like working for Sam?
I'm the best.
Yes, dear. Right.
So it's coming. New members area, it will be with us really, really soon. So at the minute, we've just updated the old members area, but the new stuff, it honestly is absolutely flames. The new stuff that's coming. Reese has done a phenomenal job. So hopefully we get that live in the next week or so, 2 weeks, couple of weeks, and it'll be out. And it is worth every single penny. There's 30% off. I should add this, shouldn't I? Because I work there. Hashtag ad. There's 30% off memberships at Scout at the moment, and there is a link in our description of this video.
Do it now. The earlier you do it in the season, the more benefit you get from a membership.
It won't
don't wait till game week 38. What's the point?
It will not get any cheaper than this, and it will obviously last you for the whole season, etc.
Love it.
Genuinely, the stuff that Neil and Tom, Mark, have been writing has been unbelievably good. The new member stuff is already good. The new members area will blow your minds.
Loving it. And if you're new to Scout, if you're sitting there going, I'm new to all this, I haven't got a bloody clue what you're talking about. It's a website, you've got fixture tickers, you've got insight, you've got articles, you've got, imagine like sort of The Athletic, but just for FPL, right? And then if you click into the members area and you pay your sub every month, you get then access to like table after table of stats. We use them all here on a Sunday night on our regular live streams. Just the source for FPL knowledge. I've been playing this game for something like, I worked it out the other day, this is going to be my 18th season of FPL, and I'm pretty sure for at least 12 of those I've been using Scout.
Yeah.
So there we go.
And there's going to be a brand new transfer planner over there this year, which is going to be so much better than the last one. So
love
everything,
it.
Yeah.
Just love it.
Come and join my Scout family.
Come and
join the FPL family. Come join my Scout family.
Come and join the Scout family. No FPL is in. Sam, I'm very happy to tell you that he or she has joined FF Scout as a premium member this week. So there we go.
There you go.
Super. Welcome. Joseph's in. I joined the Fantasy Football Scout community early July. So another new member, Joseph.
Thank you.
Richard Clancy's in. He's saying, what is your league code? The new FPL family league code is in the description below. So get into... the little video description and you will find our league code for this season. If you were in our league last season, you'll be automatically added because that is the option that I suggested and that I ticked. So, Sam, let's have a quick chat about game week one then. So game week one, some cracking games to talk about. Burnley versus Man City is going to be on while we're at Fantasy Football Fest. So yes. That is going to be great, great fun. Arsenal at home to Forest obviously stands out. You've got Brighton at home to Luton, obviously stands out. Chelsea, Liverpool as well on Sunday, going to be an interesting game. Spurs away at Brentford. Any sort of fixtures there in particular that stand out for you in game week one where you go, God, blimey, I've got to have a bit of, Got to have a bit of Everton at home to Fulham or something like that.
Oh, I see.
Maybe I picked the wrong fixture.
In my head, I was thinking stand out as being brilliant fixtures, but you mean from an FPL perspective to target?
Either.
I think in terms of potential for a brilliant fixture and one that I will be scouting heavily, Newcastle Villa stands out for me these are two teams that at the moment I'm not investing in at all, but they are also two teams
got
that...
no Newcastle or Villa?
No.
You must have a Newcastle. You must have the Newcastle defender that's been priced incorrectly, surely.
No.
Well, your draft must be pretty strong. That's all I'm saying. I've
well,
got Botman.
The first five fixtures are disgusting for Newcastle.
About drafts later on.
So these two teams are teams that I'm very much interested in, and they're very much sitting on the kind of periphery of my thinking.
Yeah.
With Newcastle, the first five fixtures have put me off. So investing even in Botman at 4.5, I mean, it's the sort of thing I could do and just leave him on the bench. But equally, I think there are other good 4.5 options that I might want to play in these opening five fixtures and then maybe get Botman on wildcard was where I was.
Okay.
But I think there are players like Watkins. There are players, I was going to say like Ramsey, but obviously he's broken his metatarsal and is now out for 10 weeks.
Oh, yeah, that's
which is a real shame. It's a real shame.
And by the way, we should give a shout out to the young Lions, the under-21s.
What a game, though.
I mean, that was unbelievable finish to that game yesterday. Yeah. It is, as Stuart Pearce said in the post-match, it is a monumental moment for English football. It can't be underestimated. And I know it's
conceded the whole tournament.
I know it's the under-21s and people not getting as much
focus
maybe, but this is the future. And actually we England as a team, as a nation have won a lot of titles in the age groups up to 21s, but now the 21s have won the European Championships. Levi Caldwell was absolutely brilliant. I mean, look out for him having a breakout season.
Is he
going to
be at Chelsea?
Depending on where he goes. I know it sounds like Poch is going to have a conversation with him about what he wants to do.
Oh, still makes me feel sick.
I'd have him at Liverpool, no question. He looks absolutely brilliant. The goalkeeper, James Trafford, what an unbelievable end to that game. Saved the penalty, saved the follow-up, and then the Spanish guy missed the third one, didn't he? Looks like at this stage he's going to be Burnley's first-choice keeper. Is that done yet?
Not done yet,
but it looks as if he's going to be Burnley's first-choice keeper. Jacob Ramsey, dead unlucky. So, so unlucky. And going to be a miss for Villa. You're absolutely right, because he was part of that engine room that Unai Emery was getting set up. So, from an FPL perspective, that's putting you off of Villa a little bit, is it? Or you want to scout them first?
I just want to scout pre-season. So that's Villa, Villa are one of those teams that are on my radar for sure.
Yeah.
But I want to watch them in pre-season because obviously Unai Emery is making changes, he's signing players. I want to kind of see who's the first choice. I was really interested in having Moreno, but he's priced that little bit more. Mm-hmm. So the 5 million has slightly put me off. Not loads put me off, but slightly put me off. If it was 4.5 like Mings and the rest, I'd have been fully on board with that.
Yeah.
So that is a game that I'm very much scouting because I'm going to watch both teams in pre-season. I know that I'm going to want to invest in Newcastle. I'm just not quite sure I want to do it from game week one because of the fixtures.
Okay.
But Villa I'm very, very interested in. And so pre-season I think is going to be really important for kind of working out how best to invest in them.
Okay. All right. We've had a super chat from Nigel the Crab from Cyberdebt. Thank you very much, mate. A very generous super chat, Simon. That's very kind of you, mate. Thank you. First paid super chat of the season under my belt. First off, Sam, you were awesome on the price reveals. Great, great job.
Thank you, Sam.
Lee Kondrak, congrats on the new job. Thank you, mate. All going well so far. What a completely crazy, what's a completely crazy hot pick for the new season? Madueke for real. So Noni Madueke. So the Chelsea man, is he going to get more starts this season? Potentially. We're going to talk about Chelsea and what they've done this summer and what they've not done this summer and what their squad's looking like under Maurizio Pochettino going into the new season. I tell you what, Sam, let's get into the fixture ticker. So there's a couple of games there that stand out for me. For sure, Newcastle Villa absolutely stand out. I think our game against Chelsea would be really interesting to see how our new boys get on. Very happy with the signing of Szoboszlai. I think I've said his name correctly. I've seen his... So he went on Liverpool Twitter and said, here's how you say my name.
Can we just call him Dom?
You can call him Dom if you like, but it is Dominic Szoboszlai. Pretty sure. Might be wrong. Pretty sure. And obviously Alexis McAllister. So interested to see how those guys get on. Chelsea a lot of comings and goings as well, right? So...
mostly goings.
Lots and lots to think about. From an attack perspective then, or should we want to do defence first or attack?
Let's go attack.
Well, let's go attack then. So for those of you that are members over at Fantasy Football Scout, you will know that they have this very dynamic fixture ticker. So this basically is a whole ticker of the whole of the season. So every game, I've only clipped the first six game weeks here, but the ticker on Fantasy Football Scout, if you want it to, can go the whole season up to game week 38. And you can just click a button. At the click of a button, it will sort it by difficulty. It's a brilliant, brilliant option. So again, another reason to be a member over at Scout. And by the way, if you don't agree with the fixture difficulty ratings that some of the games have got from the experts at Scout, then you can put your own in there. So it's completely customizable. But when you do that over the first six fixtures, these are the clubs that come up with, according to this ticker, the Fantasy Football Scout ticker, the best looking fixtures on paper. Chelsea right at the top there, which is why I wanted to make the segue over to this slide here. City coming in second, Arsenal third, then Luton, Brentford, Man United. So from that perspective, purely from a fixtures perspective, does that make you want to get in on that Chelsea attack? Or is it worth waiting until game week three? Because from game week three, it's Luton, Forest and then Villa all at home, three in the next four. Whereas it's Liverpool and West Ham to start the season.
It is, but also I think that the way that Chelsea players are priced, there's no need to wait. Like, if they came in at really premium price tags, if they were sort of 9, 9.5, 10, 10.5, in the way that we've seen from Chelsea before, you know, if we had Sterling coming in at 10 million, then I think you'd wait, probably, and watch the first two games, and then you'd invest after that. But when you got them coming in at sort of 7, 7.5 million,
yeah,
I think you can easily invest early, because not only are they going to give you the value potentially to own other premiums in the game that you might want to have. That fixture against Liverpool is difficult, for sure. But West Ham, they're not exactly watertight defensively. So there could easily be goals in that one. And then, of course, then you have them for that really nice run. So it's not putting me off. I think the thing
Who's catching your eye, though, from a Chelsea... Is Sterling underpriced
Sterling
at seven?
Because I think so.
You've only got to go back a couple of seasons. And he was like 11, 12 million, wasn't he?
Yeah, so he was... I looked back at this for the pod. So back in the 13-14 season when he was at Liverpool, he was priced at 5.5. But that was his first season at Liverpool. And then after that, the cheapest he's been is like 8.5. In the game. So this is the cheapest he's been for a long time. I think the value that he potentially has...
Potentially, yeah. This is the thing,
huge.
Isn't it? We've got to see.
The issue I have slightly is that this... I feel very unsure with Chelsea, simply because it's all new. So it's there are a lot of comings and goings, mostly goings at the moment, but there's been a lot of goings. And obviously Poch is... feeling his way around this team and working out who it is that's going to be these leading lights in his team. Now, if one of them is Sterling, which I think it will be, he becomes an incredibly good value for money if he's going to start week upon week upon week.
I think someone's going to come to the fore. I don't know whether it's going to be Sterling or who it is, but Poch... That is what he does. And I've already seen on Twitter, on social, some of the... It's like, oh, he's had a meeting with Lukaku to, you know, get a feel for what he wants. And and you're just like, Poch, say what you want about him. I think he's a great manager. And the one thing he's great at, or one of the things he's great at... There goes the mic again.
I kicked it that time. That was my fault.
One of the things that Poch is great at is that man management. It's that, even the Levi Caldwell thing. Well, when he gets back, I'm going to put my arm around him and have a conversation with him. He's really good at that.
He wants to have a chat with Dele Alli.
And I saw that, right? He wants to go and have a chat with Dele Alli. This is what he's like, Pochettino. And I just think, oh, honestly, Chelsea fans, you've got to give this guy time. I think if Pochettino's given time, which, let's face it, managers at Chelsea aren't often given time, but if he's given time, it could be brilliant for him. It could be brilliant. But someone like a Sterling is going to come out the pack and be a player again under Pochettino. I can just see it.
Somebody will.
And if it's Sterling at 7 million, he's going to be in absolutely everyone's teams. It's just, will we know that by game week 3? Because game week 3, for me, that's the moment to act. I'm going to be, again, spoiler, we'll talk about our teams later on. I've got one Chelsea player in my team. It's not Raheem Sterling, but I will be heavily scouting the rest of them, 1 and 2, ready to act in 3 if I need to.
See, I don't know. I think that you've got potential to act earlier. Because pre-season's going to be really telling for Chelsea. If they have a good pre-season where we start to see the Pochettino play coming in to its own, then I think that there's scope to go a bit early. Because the thing with Chelsea is, if you do end up on the wrong one, it's very easy to move. It's very easy to slide across to the one that it actually is because of the way the pricing is done.
That's one way of looking at it. But the other way of looking at it is that, well, you don't start with them. Because there are so many options in midfield, you go with a, inverted commas, safer option.
Why do you have to go with a midfielder? Because there's Nkunku.
Yeah, true enough. But again, you don't have to act on the Chelsea boys. You can just sit there, chill, have a safer option.
You could.
And then you just get him in as and when. I hear you. The whole art of FPL is getting on a player before everybody else. But Chelsea just feels like it. And the comment I've just seen in the live chat is absolutely right from Pieter. You know, Chelsea as a whole, just a bit of a lottery. It's just a gamble that we don't really need to take at the beginning of the season. I don't think.
See, I don't know. I think it's a gamble.
I can see you feeling this. This is your Pochettino.
Because I know what Poch is like. I have lived through Pochettino. Some of the very best years of my life spent with that man at the helm of my
club.
Not
at first, though. Not at first with Spurs. He took time.
He did take time, but there were still standouts right from the beginning. Yeah, and what you'll see under Poch at Chelsea is it's going to take time. It will be a build process. They will have to trust him and they'll have to go on the journey. Not just the guys at the top at Chelsea, but the players. The players will have to go on a journey with Poch in the way that the Spurs players went with him and they believed in the hype and they followed him and they followed the methods.
It's not the players, though, is it, at Chelsea? And this is going to turn into a Chelsea pod if we're not careful, but it's the club,
no, I think
it's the
Bowleys, everything.
It's everything else. The players will go with Poch because it's Poch.
Well, I don't know.
Will the fans go with Poch?
Yeah, I think so. I think they will. I think the players have got to get on board. And he's got to get the right ones because that squad is still way too big a squad. He needs to streamline it. He needs to get the players on board and he needs to be moving. Now, from what I'm seeing, that's already happening.
Yeah.
So I think I really like the potential that Chelsea have. And I can already see me doubling up on Chelsea for game week one.
Ooh, love it. Chilwell and James, interest?
I thought you were talking about the double up. I was going to say absolutely not the double up there.
Okay. Interest in either of those?
Yes.
But one or the other.
Yes.
Probably.
Yeah, I don't think you want both. I think the way that it's going to go this season, for me anyway, is it feels like a three-man defence with two cheapies is the way to go. And I don't think that you want to have two of the three be in Chelsea.
No, okay, I'd agree. Well, yeah, I have got a Chelsea defender. We'll talk about him a bit later on, but goodness me, he needs to stay fit. Where else? Man City, Arsenal. Are we just going 3 City, 3 Arsenal? Is it as simple as that? I mean, look at these fixtures. The City in particular. Burnley, Newcastle at home, but it's the first game at the Etihad. Sheffield United, Fulham, West Ham, Forest. I mean, crikey's days. And Arsenal, Forest, Palace, Fulham, Man U, Everton, Spurs. I mean, all right, 4 and 6 looks a little bit trickier, but they are both at home. These are two teams that we've got to jump on early, haven't we? And to that end, answer this question, because I'm seeing a lot already, and you've already mentioned it a couple of times, about, well, you know, when we wildcard early, you know, you play for a few weeks and you wildcard early. And I don't disagree.
Don't wildcard too early this year, because it's not unlimited transfers this time around.
Well, that's absolutely true. But equally, I'm looking at these fixtures and I'm going, well, I'm going to be going reasonably heavy on City, reasonably heavy on Arsenal. I don't know, but it doesn't feel like the sort of fixture list where you're going to be popping a wild card in game week 4, 5, 6, does it?
So
it doesn't to me.
The two standout windows for wild cards are 5 and 9. So 9 is the one I'm targeting because that's when the fixtures start to move.
Yeah, 5 seems early to me.
I think
we don't know.
We've got to wait till 2020 for second wild card this time, rather than having the unlimited transfers for the World Cup, because of course we won't get that this year. I think it's going to be important to get your game week one strategy as right as possible so that you have the potential to hold through game week nine, because that fixture swing's quite big and it changes quite dramatically what teams sit at the top.
Yeah.
So for me, I was looking at that thinking, invest in Chelsea, invest definitely, of course, in Manchester City.
Which three, though?
No.
Because as Daniel Banks
is
saying...
So I don't think it's a which three question.
Well, Daniel Banks is saying, which is the three best City? Serious question. And I think he's got a point there because, again, you know, it's too early in the season to roll out the Pep roulette, but you have Haaland, of course you do, but who else? I mean, you've got Jack Grealish and Foden in there at the same price. Both a good price, I think, at 7.5. You've got Stones in at 5.5, which I quite like as well.
Yeah.
You've got potentially KDB missing for the first maybe bit of the season.
No Gundogan
because he's gone. So does that mean that Phil Foden potentially gets a bit more time? Is he a bit more central? Could that be good for us? A lot of ifs and buts. But I have to say, with those fixtures, I am absolutely considering two, if not three, from City.
I think three is too many. And the reason I say I think it's too many is because I think when you look at the midfield, because I think the reality is that you can have, you're going to have Haaland.
Yep.
So then your choices are coming down to a defender. And as I've said already, I think you have to pick three and then you have to have two budget ones, because the midfield positions, there's so many lovely picks in the kind of eight and a half. And if you want to have multiple eight and a half players, there has to be a compromise. And the compromise is probably not having a really heavy defence.
Yeah. So and you ain't going to be playing that fourth defender that often if you've got a slick looking midfield.
If you're going for a five in midfield, you're playing three at the back.
Yeah.
So here's my issue is that
those attacking wing backs are going to kill you, though, aren't they? Some of them. There's some great prices in there.
But
prices.
This season, more than ever, with the way that things have been priced, you have to accept that you are going to have players go off that you can't get in your team because you've got a decent midfield already. So, like, I'm looking at my team thinking, well, I definitely know that I've got to have an Arsenal midfielder because the fixtures are lovely.
Fixtures,
the way that they played last season, the way I'm expecting them to play this season, I know that that's
nice
there.
Little price bump for all of them, but not unexpected, we
not
have
unexpected.
To say. Yeah.
I know that I want somewhere in there for the first four game weeks. You've rolled it a bit far, but when you roll it for five, Spurs sit really high on this for the first 5 weeks.
So Brentford, United, Bournemouth, Burnley, Sheffield, yeah, 3-5 looks great.
So
doesn't
I know
the North London derby in six.
So I know I want a Spurs attacker. Now, if you can't get Kane, you've got to get a mid. So that's taking another midfield spot. Then
is he going to go? By the way,
shut up.
Is he going to go?
No.
Serious question.
No.
They put in another bid for him buying today.
They can
they?
Put in the amount of bids they want.
Oh, dear.
Daniel Levy will just go, sorry, I don't speak German. Hang up.
Oh, my God. Every time,
sorry, I don't
every
speak
time
German,
I try
up.
And have a conversation with you about it, you go like that. You go all defensive. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. I think he will go at some stage.
I think we might get divorced this year. 7-year itch and all that.
For the sake of the podcast, she just shot me a glare that if looks could kill, I'd be dead. Go on then. So Spurs.
So
my point was
that I think it's going to be really hard to own three Manchester City players because I don't think you're going to want to go off the top. If at the moment the way things stand, Haaland, Foden, they're my top two at Man City.
Don't disagree. Yeah, don't disagree.
I think then my third pick would be John Stones.
I think I'd probably go with that. Yeah, I think I'd probably go with that. I like Grealish being in there, but I just think that. Yeah, Foden being potentially in that more central role. Now, when KDB comes back, or should they sign another Gundogan replacement, they have signed Kovacic, haven't they? I mean, they're probably going to get a fair amount of game time. What a shrewd signing that is, by the way.
I think we will this year really struggle to find the space to double up on any midfield, particularly in these early weeks. By the time we wildcard, maybe that becomes clearer and maybe there are some teams that are standing out. But I think in these early weeks, because we've got the big clubs sitting at the top, nicely priced with great fixtures, I think you're basically going to pick one across the position.
All right. Any other teams in the top or the upper echelons of this attack table that catch your eye? We've discussed Chelsea, City, Arsenal, Spurs there. Manchester United starting off at Wolves at home with Forest at home in three. Obviously, that Spurs game in two and then Arsenal. So a couple of difficult-looking away games, but the home games look all right for United. And we know what we saw last season was Old Trafford was a bit of a fortress, particularly with for clean sheets. So any Manchester United players catching you? I mean, Bruno's underpriced, isn't he, at 8.5? I mean, surely, absolutely on radar, if not in your team, isn't he?
And on penalties, of course, that you adds think, to yeah. it. Rashford's that 0.5 more, but Mason Mount, now he's gone there at 7,
yeah,
is interesting to me, because, of course, I'm just trying to find ways to save some budget, because that's how I am, and I want to have the third premium, I want to have another premium in there.
What does that midfield three look like now for Manchester United? And if you're a United fan and you're in the chat, let us know, because you'll know better than we do, right? Obviously, it's going to be Casemiro, you'd think, obviously, because of how good he is, and just a Rolls Royce of a player. No one's going to take his shirt. There's a lot of talk about Fred and McTominay leaving the club, so it doesn't sound as if they're necessarily in Ten Hag's plans. But then Bruno and Mount, are they going to be the sort of the two eights, if you like, sort of rotating, taking it in turns to go forward? And to that end, is Mount as good an option as Bruno? Or because of how he's priced, but does Bruno and the free kicks and the pens and everything else, does that...
Yeah, but what's 1.5 million, which is a lot.
Yeah.
So although Bruno feels cheap, Mount feels really cheap. So I'm watching that in pre-season to see where they all play.
Definitely want to scout pre-season.
Definitely. Because obviously you've got to pay the 0.5 more for Rashford. And my gut says pay the 0.5 more for Rashford, because last season he was absolutely fantastic. But
is he going to be the forward? Is he going to be the one through the middle?
Well,
for
it looks like it at the moment, like, doesn't it? But if
that's Harry,
if they don't...
He's going to Germany.
Do you know how close I was to swearing at you then?
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
You've never sworn on FPL. 7 seasons and you've never sworn.
You nearly got an...
Let's make it happen this year.
You, honestly...
Let's make it happen.
I nearly told you to F off. Nearly told you to F off.
That is going to be my thing for this season. Guys, it's going to happen. We've got to make this happen.
What? You can't just sit on live streams on Sunday trying
Thoughts
to wind
Thoughts in the comment
up.
Below. How do we get Sam to drop the F-bombs?
With you.
Oh dear. Once the season kicks off and Kane is still a Spurs player, I feel like I'd have missed an opportunity. I feel like if it's going to happen, it's going to happen next couple of live streams before we actually kick off for the season. I've got to use the Harry Kane thing.
So I'm looking for a new host for the FPL family live stream.
new husband then, that as well, potentially.
Potentially that as well. I've lost my train of thought now. Oh, Rashford. So, yeah, I think he's going to play up top. If Rashford had been priced at 9 million last season, would we still have felt the love that we do now? Did we feel the amount of love we felt for Rashford because he was 6.5 and an absolute steal last season? And I think there is an element of that. When I look back at it, part of the reason I loved Rashford so much was because how he enabled the rest of my team. So I had a budget enabler who was just racking up points left, right and centre.
Yeah.
This
Such
season...
a good price, isn't he?
At 9, he is going to have to do the same and more for me to feel the same love I did for him last time around.
Do you
around.
Not think he can, though? I think he
can
in that
position.
No,
I'm not saying he can't. I'm just saying
he's gonna have
the
to.
Expectation that I have now is so much greater. Whereas I have...
Because there's a pretty good chance, if he's in your team, unless you go Mo, he's your most expensive... Well, he will be your most expensive midfielder. I don't think there is another one except for KDB. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah. Him and Son.
Sonny's 9, isn't he? Yeah. So he's going to be a lot of people's premium midfielder of choice.
Yeah. So I think...
High expectations.
The expectations are high. So if... And at that kind of more premium midfielder slot, if you're not performing, I want out. Bruno's sitting just 5.5 less because he's also on penalties feels a lot cheaper. And then Mount sitting at 7 feels... a lot cheaper again. So in my head, I'm kind of thinking, I've got to really pay attention. I'm going to have to really watch Manchester United in pre-season.
Do you think Mount could be good for Fernandes? And what I mean by that is, one of Mount's key characteristics is he presses. That's why I wouldn't have minded having him at Liverpool. Like he presses. Like, he's high energy. I actually think Chelsea will miss that a lot, by the way. But anyway, let's go back to Chelsea. So if he can be winning the balls from his high press in those sorts of areas, Bruno is smart enough to pick up on those balls. And once they have that understanding, it might not come in game week one, we don't know. But if they can get that click in as quickly as possible, and Bruno can predict the Mount press and win the loose ball on the back of the press, Bruno's going to be picking the ball up in some really nice positions, right? Yeah. And feeding Rashford, by the way.
Yeah. So, but I think the key here is going to be, because what we've got, I think, are three potentially good Manchester United attacking assets in Mount, Bruno and Rashford. The question is, which one is worth the price point that they are priced at? Because they're all slightly different. And the budget that you spend on Rashford means a compromise elsewhere. The budget you spend on Bruno means less compromising elsewhere. Getting Mount enables everything else. Yeah. So there's a massive difference. And I think for me, the key is going to be watching how they play in together in pre-season, paying close attention to those pre-season fixtures and when they're out in the States. What is it that they're doing?
Yeah, they've got the US tour, haven't they? Yeah.
Yeah. And that's going to be key. At the moment, Bruno is my preferred option because of the set pieces and because I just cannot see Bruno Fernandes having as bad a season this year as he did last year. Mm. And the actual underlying stats last season were good. Like, he didn't have bad underlying stats. The underlying stats were still decent. He just didn't return on them.
Yeah.
This season, if he returns on them, then he's going to be worth way more than he's budgeted at.
Yeah.
So
my gut feel, when I saw the prices, my gut feel on Rashford, you know, you get that sort of that, you know, feel on it. I was like, that's probably right. I was like, would have liked him a little bit cheaper, but that's maybe bias from last year. But nine for the United striker, probably. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
But when I saw the Bruno 8.5, I was like, that's cheap.
Yeah,
that was my thing about, I went, that's cheap straight away. Mm. And I haven't got my head around Mason Mount yet, now that's going to work. But for sure, I'm slightly favouring Bruno over the other two at the moment. But anything could happen. Anything could happen. Any other teams you want to talk about in attack? Let's talk about your boys for a second then.
Okay.
Very, very shrewd piece of business picking up James Maddison for what was in the end a net kind of 25 million because you managed to bin off Skip over to Leicester.
No, I didn't. Harry Winks.
Poor not Skip. No, not Skip.
He's just won the World
Euros. European champion.
He's won a trophy. We're not binning off someone who's won something. No, gosh.
You didn't bin off your decent player. You binned off poor old Harry Winks, went the other way to Leicester into the championship for 10 million. So for a net 25 mil, picking up Maddison, I think, is a very, very good bit of business.
Where does he
play in your team? He is going to be, I would suggest, more central because Kulusevski's just re-signed, has he not? So you'd think that he's the favoured right side of the front three.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Son and Richarlison battling it out as they did in last season.
Mm-hmm.
Maddison, you'd think, is going to reprise that role that he liked at Leicester. Ineffective a bit wide right, wasn't he? And then was it Tete coming for Leicester? He went central. He was influential. He was in amongst it. Good signing, I think.
I'm really excited about this one.
Really good.
Son out on the left, Kulu out on the right. Kane, if he's still there, which I think he will be, if he's still there, this will mean he will stay further forward. He won't drop back as deep because Madison's going to sit behind him. Maddison will effectively play the Eriksen role that we've not had since Eriksen left.
Yeah.
So he's going to pick up the set pieces, and we get a lot of them. And not only are we going to get a lot of them, he's going to be supplying Kane and Son and Kulusevski, as well as players like Romero, who we know finish set pieces well.
Mm.
So I genuinely do think at 7.5 million, he is an absolute steal.
He's for sure on my radar.
Because
for sure.
He, when you look at the last 10 game weeks of last season, from game week 28 through 38, his underlying stats at Leicester were phenomenal.
In the role he's going to play for Spurs.
In the role he was going to
play. We think.
So he was phenomenal. Like,
so where exactly does he play? That midfield three. So you've got a player coming back who I think is mustard, by the way, that you massively missed in Bentancur.
He's not going to be back for the start of the season.
Is he not? Okay.
No.
But at some stage you'll be back. So you're first three in midfield, first team, you'd say is Bentancur, Maddison and Højbjerg, maybe?
If Højbjerg stays.
There's some rumour about him going.
He's being linked with the move away. By all accounts, Postecoglou really, really likes Yves Bissouma. And what he's seen from him has been really good.
Well, he needs to step up, but yeah, he's capable.
Yeah. So if Højbjerg isn't there, then I would suspect we'd have Bentancur and Bissouma through the middle.
Okay.
With then the guys up top in Son, Kane and Kulusevski with Maddison sitting in behind.
The one thing I will say, and you know, Kane is he's smart enough and a brilliant enough player to figure it out. But there were times last season when he stayed in that number nine position. He didn't drop deep and get involved, and he does that so well, better than anybody else. I think, you know, over the sort of last 5, 6, 7 years, both he and Bobby Firmino, and I know I'm biased in saying that, but they both do it. Both, and he and Firmino did it brilliantly. They drop back, they get involved, and they quarterback it. And they quarterback it to Son, or they quarterback it to Mane, Salah, Kulusevski, whoever. If he's not doing that, Kane, because he's told not to. Because he'll be dropping into Madison. Will he be dropping into Madison's space?
They will get in each other's way, yeah.
So from that perspective, he'll be told not to. So Angie's not stupid enough to say, well, drop back and play in the same role as Madison, because I've just bought Madison to do that exact role. You stay up there, Harry. Mm. Is there a risk that he gets more isolated and not as involved with the game?
No.
We saw that a couple of times last season when he gets frustrated.
Yeah, but we're going to play very different football this year.
Mm.
So what we were
playing...
It does
feel like a new system sorts.
Yeah, so last season we were slow. We played very, very slow football. It was moved slowly, not at pace, and there was a lot of conflict in the channels. And what I mean by that is... you would find that Son and Perisic were always in each other's way. You would find on the other side a similar pattern of problems. And if you put Richarlison in there as well, they were all just kind of... there was no space for anyone because they just kept getting in each other's way. Now, what we're going to see under Postecoglou is going to be a system where the ball is moved faster.
Yeah.
They're encouraged to stay where they should be. Mm. The fullbacks will be... they won't stay wide, they'll be in and then out, which will allow Kulusevski and Son to take those wing positions and run.
He sort of played with a five at Celtic though, didn't he? He attacked as a five.
But they don't attack wide. So what will happen is the fullbacks, the wing backs will come in and then it will go out to the players up top.
Okay.
So they won't hug the wings in the way that they did last season where we saw Perisic and Son just kind of getting in tangles all the time.
Mm.
So what we should see is the likes of Pedro Porro.
Eyes on him.
Eyes on him,
eyes
for
on
sure.
Him. Yeah, yeah.
Pedro Porro on one side, and then whoever gets the place on the other side, Royale probably, coming in further. So they will run with the ball, come in, and then it could end up with Madison or going out to Son and Kane. So they might... the only issue I have with them in FPL is that they might end up assisting the assist more, but they are going to be responsible for moving that ball quickly out of defence, getting up the pitch, and then out to those guys. I think it will mean James Maddison gets loads of space in the middle.
And possibly, therefore, lots of time when the ball touches.
Yeah.
And therefore, some bone. I think he could be a bit of a BAPS magnet.
I think he could as well.
Maddison.
Yeah. And I think what we'll see from Spurs this season, judging by what we're seeing from what's been released from the training ground footage, they are actively actively encouraging the two, and they're practicing the one-touch pass. Now, this is something in my... God knows how many years of watching Spurs training, I have never seen us play that in training.
No.
So the fact that they're doing that suggests a completely different style of play to me and a very attacking unit.
Is this going to take some time, though? I mean, we need to move on a little
bit. I mean, maybe.
But this is, you know, it does sound exciting, and I'm not disagreeing with you. I think Madison is going to be really great value in FPL.
I think some will be as well at 9.
Potentially. I have got
some
eyes on...
now he's had his surgery.
I've definitely got some eyes on Porro, no doubt about it. I see Greg Frost in the chat's the same. Churry Murray is saying the same thing. Who else we got in here? Yeah, a lot of love for Porro. A lot of eyes on Porro, no doubt about it.
Finished last season really
but
well.
But it's a new manager. It's a new style. This is going to take time. Do we invest in game week one or do we just wait to see what this looks like?
No, so I think with Spurs... if you're investing, you have to do it from game week one because it's the first fixtures that are actually the appealing ones. Once you get to game week six, the fixtures tail off.
Difficult.
And they don't get difficult for ages, but they tail off a little bit around the North London Derby. So I think if you're doing it, if you're going to take a chance on a Spurs player, I think you have to go with it from game week one. And I think that they are cheap enough that you can. In going back to the list for a second, I think Mbeumo, however we say his name now, is the standout pick that we've not talked about in those top clubs.
Let's talk about him when we get to our drafts.
Okay.
Because he, spoiler alert, is in my draft. I'm not sure whether he's going to be there. I can see why he's a good pick, but I just think the way that Brentford play with that interchangeable front three... I can see Johan Visser actually getting quite a bit of game time and taking some of those points away from Mbeumo. He's still a good pick.
But they played together at the back end of last season and that didn't happen.
He's still a good pick. He's still a good pick.
Without Tony, he was unbelievable.
No doubt about it. From a defensive perspective, the same sorts of names, interestingly, crop up. So Arsenal, Man City, we've already spoken about having their players. Chelsea again. Brighton, who we haven't discussed feature though, as do Liverpool. So let's just have a really quick, and I do mean a quick because we're already at 56 minutes, conversation
about
those two. Brighton, let's go with them first.
Yeah.
Some really nice assets in there. And again, that feeling that I got when I saw Bruno's 8.5, that was, you know, that sort of like knee jerk, all that's cheap. I thought the same about Mitoma at 6'5".
But we're talking about defence now.
And I thought the same about Estupiñán at 5.
Oh, did you?
I did.
I didn't think that.
Do you not think he's cheap at 5? What, Purvis? Oh, come on.
No, I didn't.
Purvis at 5 is an absolute bargain.
I didn't think that.
All right. Why not?
I think Brighton... So they're going to have him probably... I mean, they...
You had his 18 points as well, didn't you, against Arsenal? And you still don't think he's a bargain?
No, I don't think he's a bargain. Oh, okay. I was actually disappointed when I saw Estupiñán's price. I was like, I wanted him to be 4.5.
Come on.
Brighton, they were phenomenal last season. I worry a lot about them managing Europa League and Premier League week in, week out. Small squad, not loads of rotation potential there, particularly where Estupiñán plays. There isn't really anyone that can come in and take his spot.
So he's nailed on for minutes?
No, but my issue is he's going to be knackered because he's got...
Oh, this is absolute tosh. 5 million... for an attacking wing back in that Brighton setup under De Zerbi with De Zerbi ball.
I'm not loving it.
And we've already seen it. We saw it last season. It's not as if, I'm taking a punt on 5 million because he might be more attacking.
No, it's not about...
We've seen it.
I'm not loving it. Because I think with the amount of other... I can have an Arsenal defender for 5 million. Rather
what, Gabriel?
Saliba.
You'd have Gabriel or Saliba over Purvis?
I have. And I will.
Not saying either of those are bad picks, by the way, but Purvis at 5.
I'd rather... I think
get in my team, mate.
Had Saliba not been injured for the last 11 game weeks of the season, this conversation... I think there's a lot of blight... I've been listening to the community and people talking about Saliba as a bad pick at 5. Genuinely, I'm baffled by it. Had he not been injured for those last 11 game weeks of the season, he would have been, by far, the highest scoring Arsenal player. And he would have outscored... most of the other defenders that are coming in at that price point. He's just signed a new contract. He's been given the number 2.
God, blimey.
I'd have Saliba 10 times the times I picked Estupiñán.
Oh, my days. Well, needless to say, I couldn't disagree more. I think Purvis is absolute steal at 5 million. The only thing that would put me off not having Purvis as Estupiñán would be if Moises Caicedo does go and they lose 2 of that killer midfield. I mean, him and McAllister were unreal, right?
They were.
And Caicedo in particular being the CDM, right? Mm-hmm. If he leaves the club, which it still looks like he could do over the transfer, then I may consider not having Purvis as Estupiñán. But while Caicedo's there, while De Zerbi's there, while he's 5 million, he is in my team. No question. We'll talk about teams in a minute. Liverpool then, defensively. Trent at 8, what are we saying? About right?
I mean, I really wanted him to be 7.5.
But they've done it. They've got it right.
But I think they've got it right. Because the reality is, so the way I look at it, if you look at him in comparison to the 8 million bracket midfielders, it's right. Because he is going to play like an 8 million midfielder.
Yeah.
With the benefit of clean sheets, should Liverpool actually keep any this season?
Well, can I just add, so I knew that was coming, right? I bloody knew this was coming on this Trent conversation. I've seen so much about, Liverpool don't keep clean sheets.
No, look, right, so to be clear,
yeah,
second name on my team sheet was Trent.
Yeah.
So same. I'm not saying he's a bad, I'm not for any second suggesting that the Liverpool don't keep clean sheets thing is something to not have him with. I'm just saying, if you treat him like a midfielder, then that the clean sheets are a bonus. Liverpool keep them, they are a bonus. That's the way I see it, is that his attacking potential this year is huge.
Yeah, yeah. He was without doubt second on my team sheet as well. I didn't press the in button for about half a second. I went, 8 million? I was like, 8 million, that's fine. Do you know what I mean? I was just like, for 1 second, I was a bit like, it's a bit expensive. But he's worth it. So get in my team. It was no doubt about it. Is the way our season went last season as well. We started off, or Klopp started off, trying to integrate Nunez, right? We bought Nunez. We'd had him for a few months. Really wanted to get him in that team and fit him firing because he could see some potential in him, which I still think we can see. We'll talk about Nunez more in a minute. And he tried the 4-2-3-1, didn't he, Klopp? And
didn't
it work. Just was crap. And before the World Cup, didn't work. So what happened was, a couple of weeks...
Nunes got injured as well, didn't he?
Nunes got injured. We had World Cup. We kind of come back from the World Cup. And Klopp was just like, right, Nunes is injured. So here's a really good reason for me to go back to the 4-3-3 that we know and love and that we've seen in years gone by. All of a sudden, players started pressing again. We then had Konate come back from injury. So Joe Gomez, love you, mate, but not good enough. So Konate come back. That enabled Trent to get forward into that midfield position. And everything was a bed of roses for 10 to 12 matches, yeah. Right? So two things to say about that. One is... Trent in that inverted midfield position, I think, is brilliant for attacking returns. But also, while Konate's fit, will keep clean sheets.
One thing I will say about Trent, there were some photographs of Trent today.
Looks like a machine. Did you
see him? My God. Trent has entered beast mode. What the hell has happened to Trent Alexander-Arnold?
I saw them. I was you've been on the weights.
Unreal.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm sorry. The hair's looking nice.
Yeah.
And then there was a picture of him sat on a bike and I nearly fell off my chair because I was like, what's happened to you? What have you been doing?
I'm not even mad at you lusting over him. I was as well. I was like, Trent, I love you,
honestly,
mate.
I've never lusted over Trent Alexander-Arnold in my life. And I looked at him today and was like,
oh my God.
I'm a bit hot under the collar. It was honestly...
Have you seen the pictures of Hendo as well?
No.
Yeah, some good ones of Hendo. Cracking ones of Hendo.
I'll have a look at that afterwards.
I don't know if all the Liverpool boys are all being like photoshopped or whatever.
Well, I don't know. But honestly, I was like, what have you been doing in pre-season? Like, before
genuinely,
coming back?
I think this could be the season that Trent absolutely pops off.
Is this Trent... It feels to me like Trent was... The World Cups thing and the England thing before wound him up. He was annoyed by the not being involved as much. He was... absolutely brilliant in the last England game that we had when he was playing in that midfield position like he's been playing for Liverpool. Yeah. And obviously with the Euros coming up next summer, I do wonder whether there's this kind of now dry, a bit more of a drive from him.
Yeah, maybe.
But whatever he's doing, keep doing it, Trent, because if he's going to look like that and play in that midfield position for Liverpool, and as you say... have increased potential for some clean sheets while the rest of the team is fit, then I don't think that there is any... And I like Robbo.
Yeah.
But I don't see any way of saving 1.5 million by going Robbo over Trent. I'm sorry, I just don't.
No, I'm not having it. Love you to bits, Robbo, but, you know...
I don't
you're
think
not
it's
having,
worth
you're
it.
Having Trent over him, I
100%,
think.
100%, I think he's worth it.
And while we've got... While Konate is fit, because Konate has got the positional sense that Gomez hasn't got, and he's quicker... than Gomez. Gomez can't turn.
No.
Bless him, he had that really bad knee injury and he turns like the Titanic. Konate, while he's there, enables the Trent inversion.
At the beginning of this live stream, you said you've basically got 86 million because you've got to have Haaland. I would argue that you've actually got 78 million because you've got to have Trent.
Wouldn't disagree. Couldn't disagree. Before we get to Darwin Nunez, because we do need to talk about him... a couple of messages, super chats from Duncan Crawford, been a member of the FPL Family YouTube channel for 15 months, Duncan. That doesn't seem like yesterday you joined us.
Is he talking about biscuits?
He's not talking about biscuits, but he is saying, hey from work, guys. So Duncan is working at the moment.
I said apologies.
Buzzing for Fest. Excited for FPL to be back. The message from you to Duncan is, bring the biscuits, Duncan. Is that what you're saying?
No, so we... Duncan... So if you follow my Instagram stories this summer, I've been doing a few Q&As. Duncan always supplies the biscuits for the FPL, for the quiz at the Fantasy Football Fest. Nice. He did already message me and asked me what biscuits I wanted.
Nice. And we've had another message from Raheem Khan, who's been a member for 16 months. Raheem, thank you.
These guys.
16 months. I think he was the first person ever.
Was he?
To join us here on the FPL Family YouTube channel.
Quickly followed by Sai.
Very nice to see you, mate. Henderson has transformed into a beast. I need to show you these
pictures. I'm going to have to go and lust over Hendo next.
Yeah, and you want to see Mo as well. Ready to play that Milner role. Yes, I do think that. He's going to take on that responsibility from Milner, I think, as the more elder statesman in the team.
It's probably more appropriate for me to lust over him. He's a bit more my age.
It's true. And then we had a super chat from Azzy. Hey, Azzy, the Smiths 1986. How are you doing, mate? This is the year of Darwin Nunez. This is the year of Darwin Nunez. Get on that train early. Darwin Nunez, 7.5 million. What are you saying?
So I was...
You like it, don't you?
So I
But then again, you don't think a stupid hand's a decent person.
I was casually, you know, making my team. And then absolutely fell down the trapdoor that is Darwin Nunez again. And I...
Yeah.
Don't hate myself for it.
Yeah.
Because
7.5 is cheap.
Because last year I went in the Darwin Nunes. Like, I was all about Darwin for so long, if you remember.
Yeah.
Stayed so loyal to that man.
Yeah.
As Jules and Kelly ripped me for week upon week upon week on the pod.
Yeah.
And then he got injured and I sold him and I was annoyed and everything else. But I genuinely look at Darwin and think, without Bobby, who I'm going to miss a lot in the Premier League, because I love Bobby Firmino, somebody's got to take that forward position by the scruff of their neck. Somebody's got to make that their own position. Is it going to be Darwin? Is it going to be Gakpo? Is it going to be somebody else? I don't know. But what I do know is that Darwin Núñez historically has always had bad first seasons with clubs. Because I look back at this for the pod. He's always terrible in his first season. And the second season, he's always brilliant. So in Portugal last time around, second season, he won the goal, effectively their golden boot. He was the highest scorer in the league. I think he got 26 goals in like 28 games or something. He was brilliant in that second season, having had an awful first season. I do think that it took him a while. It took him a while to... I mean, it's going to take anyone a long time to move from Portugal to Liverpool, become accustomed to the style of play. But not just him become accustomed to the style of play. The whole Liverpool team adjusting to him, because it was a change of formation to allow for him. I think now, having been there for a year, having understood the fitness levels required for the Premier League, the speed of the game, all of that kind of stuff, I think he could be fantastic. Now, what I will say is there are a lot of options in that 7.5 million forward bracket.
Is Chelsea, there a lot of options?
There is, in my opinion, okay, because you've got players like Nkunku. At Chelsea, you've got obviously Gakpo and Nunes there as well.
Jesus is 8, isn't he?
There's Jesus for 8. You've got Ollie Watkins in that in 8 as well.
Jesus 8 or 9?
No, 8.
8, okay.
So there's a lot of options in that kind of bracket.
Okay.
And I like Darwin the most at the moment. But that, I'm not wed to it, because I've got to watch how pre-season goes. Who's playing up there? Because there is so much potential for rotation in that Liverpool team. That's the only thing I'll say.
You're not wrong.
There are so many forward players. The bit that scares me a little bit is how many starts is he going to get? Because he didn't get nearly enough last season. I think he got 18 from memory.
Yeah.
That's not nearly enough if you're going to have him as your second forward. If he was your third forward, it's fine. If he's your second forward, it's not. And that's my concern.
I think they've priced him brilliantly.
Oh, I think he's a nice price.
I think they've absolutely nailed it, because 7.5, if he was 8 something or 9 something, you'd say no. I don't think any of us would be going there. We'd wait and see, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
At 7.5, it just makes me go, ooh, that's nice. They've priced it so nicely. Now, here's my thoughts on it. Going back to what I said before, we started the season last season in that 4-2-3-1. He was the one. The three do the pressing, and he doesn't need to press quite so much. And he didn't press quite so much. And it was the 4-2-3-1 formation, and we were crap. It didn't work. Then he got injured a little bit. Then we had World Cup. We come back from the World Cup. Klopp goes, actually, screw that. I'm going to go 4-3-3, back to what we know. And he starts getting bits of games, and he starts being subbed. And he's all of a sudden, he's not the one in the 4-2-3-1. The three actually starts being Salah,
Diaz,
Jota, and Gakpo. And the reason he goes Gakpo rather than Nunes is because Gakpo does the thing that Firmino used to do, which is the press and the coming back. Nunes doesn't do that. Now, towards the end of the season, Klopp comes out talking about, he needs to be more up with the pace of the game. There's comments about the way he's adapting to the English lifestyle. There's comments about the way that he's learning English or not, as the case may be, right? Now, I've watched a couple of pre-season Liverpool videos, and there's not been many yet, but he's featured quite heavily. And whenever I watch him in the inside Anfield and the inside training videos, his English is improving. They make a point on those videos, and they're only 18-minute videos of a Liverpool, they make a point of showing Nunez speaking English. They want the fans to get behind Nunez and understand that he's adapting, that he's learning, that he's taking Klopp's comments on board, right? And unless you're a Liverpool fan, you're probably not following this that closely. But because I am, I am. So I think everything is there for success for Nunes this year. Everything is there for success. And you're right, second season with him tends to be better. He himself came out at the end of last season after games and talked about the fact that, look, I know I've not been good enough this season, but historically I've been better in my second season. It takes me a bit of time to settle down with a full pre-season. I'm going to go again. I'm going to have a good pre-season. Even he is thinking, I need to have a good second season.
Yeah, yeah.
Klopp has come out and said, here's what you've got to do to have a good second season. The boys at the Liverpool YouTube channel are going, we're going to show the Liverpool fans that he's doing the things that he needs to do, that Klopp said he's going needs to do to have a good second season. The narrative is all there. But if Liverpool in pre-season go with the 4-3-3, I don't think he's in the three.
No, and I think...
Regularly.
Yeah, exactly. But I think the part of the reason you'll see my team in a minute is why he's there is because the players that I'm interested in at Liverpool, because Salah's going to be tough, are either to have Gakpo or Darwin, depending upon how things pan out. They're obviously just interchangeable right now because they're the same price in the same position. The other one is Luis Diaz, who is one of my favourite players that doesn't play for Spurs.
He's going to be first choice left side, whether it's a 4-3-3 or a 4-2-3-1.
And I
love
him.
He'll be first choice. Like He's a good pick in FPL.
I spent a long time looking at Luis Diaz a couple of seasons ago when we were very heavily linked with him until you nicked him. And I was very excited about having Luis Diaz come and play at Spurs. And then he didn't. All of that stuff that I learned about him when I was watching still applies. He's just been injured and had a bad and unlucky season last year. But when he was fit, he was great for Liverpool. Mm. So the one thing that I will say is that I think there is potential to move that Liverpool investment, because he's the same price, just have to move it into midfield. And part of the reason I prefer the Liverpool boys up top is because it doesn't take up a midfielder spot, which is valuable to me, the way that the season is. But I do think that there is potential, if we're not sure on the Darwin-Gakpo thing, then I'll just go with Diaz instead in these early weeks because the fixtures are nice. I'm expecting Liverpool to be significantly better than they were last season.
For me, it's all about what happens in pre-season. If we see pre-season games and he's lining up with that 4-3-3, I won't be going Nunes.
No.
If in pre-season he's lining up with that 4-2-3-1,
yeah,
and the two is McAllister and Szoboszlai, and then you've got Diaz and Salah, and maybe Hakpo or Jota, and then they've got the one up top. He will be the one, in my opinion. He will be in the 4-2-3-1, it'd be Nunes. Trent will be joining in with Mac and Szoboszlai. You could even have Szoboszlai in the 10 because he can play there, because he's adaptable, and you could play Fabinho there. But there's a general feeling within the club that Fabinho's legs are going. We've seen it, right?
Well, we know that, yeah.
Bacetic has been featured quite heavily, actually, in some of the inside training videos, which is interesting, because I think he's going to play a part this season as well. He's brilliant, Stefan Bacetic, last season. Very, very young player, but talented. So pre-season, all eyes on pre-season as to whether Klopp is going to roll out and try again with this 4-2-3-1. And if he does, Nunes is on the radar. If he doesn't and he sticks with the 4-3-3, Nunes is not on the radar. That is where I'm going to leave it. That's where I'm going to leave it. But he's, for sure, FPL have got the pricing perfect, because 7-5 makes you think, and we're having this conversation because he's 7-5.
The last word on Liverpool though is that if you can't afford Salah, I don't think that means you shouldn't invest in the Liverpool attack. There are other options that you can go with, and I think you should.
Yeah, but expect Pep levels of rotation. Yeah. I think. Let's see whether Klopp takes the Europa League seriously or not. I don't know. Anyway, enough talk about teams, guys. Let's get into first drafts. And here is my first draft, complete with Purvis is stupid, Anne. You'll be pleased to hear.
You have to read them for the podcasters, please.
Oh, yes, you're right. So podcasters, here we go. So Pickford in goal. Talk about him in a minute. Trent, James and Estupinan as my back three, with Botman and Bell currently on the bench.
Who's your other goalkeeper, sorry?
Leno. I've got Leno.
Copied me.
I think he's a good pick at 4-5. Mitoma, Bruno Fernandes, Foden, Mbeumo and Saka across the midfield. And then Haaland, Gabriel Jesus, and then I've got a 4.5 burner slot as my third striker. Currently got Archer from Aston Villa. So most weeks going to be rolling out the five in midfield, as we suggested. Almost certainly, you know, never going to be playing Archer, right? So it's only ever going to be the two up front. Feel like Botman is just too good to not have. I just think he's just too good an option not to have at 4-5, I honestly do. And obviously I've got Bell in there as my 4.0 star. So I think is he probably the best 4.0? There's a couple of others knocking about, isn't there? But he played a lot of games for Luton last season, Bell.
He did. So notice that of the newly promoted teams, nobody's been priced over 5.5 million this year from any of the three newly promoted clubs. And they've basically divided the defenders. There's the 4 million defenders, the ones who had very little attacking threat. And then all the others are in at 4.5 because they've got some attacking threat. So what you'll see when you're investing in the likes of Bell, he did get a goal last season in the Championship, but it was just one.
All right.
But he did pretty much start every game.
Yeah.
So you will get potential. And they did keep 21 clean sheets last season. Only Coventry kept more. So they have got some defensive security there. Obviously, it's going to be very different in the Premier League. But I think it's going to be there and thereabouts with the 4.0s. I don't think you need to spend loads of time worrying about your 4.0s because they've all pretty much got the same level of attacking threat.
Okay. A few of the guys in the chat, so no FPL, saying Bayer of Burnley could be good. Yes,
he could.
Absolutely. The one, Baldock is in there, of course, as well.
The one thing to say about Bell, he's probably going to be the most owned of the 4.0s.
True enough, yeah.
Therefore, the most potential to drop to 3.9 if everyone gets off of him. That's the only negative I can see with Bell.
And you do not want to be making transfers early on in the season, getting rid of your 4.0, do you?
That's the only negative I see with him.
So there we go. I think what I try to do, as I tend to do most seasons in FPL, is try to cover the price points in midfield. So I've gone with the 8.5 and in Bruno, I've got the 8 in Saka, I've got the 7.5 covered with Foden, I've got a couple of 6.5s covered with Mitoma and Mbeumo. Obviously, the big glaring omission is I don't have a premium midfielder, right? I've not gone for a Rashford, and that's why I've put him on there, right? Because he's of course he's on my watch list, right? But at the moment, I'm just leaning towards Bruno. Obviously, there's no Mo Salah in there. There is no Liverpool in there except for Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Interesting.
And again, that might change depending on what I see in pre-season with this 4-2-3-1 or the 4-3-3, as I discussed before, right? So depending on what we see from Klopp, it might change. I do think that City's fixtures are good enough to go for two. I do. And I'm just leaning towards Foden. You know, we saw certainly in the first half of last season, you know, between game week 1 and 18 and the World Cup, he's dynamite, wasn't he?
Absolute
dynamite. And him and Haaland were like unreal. And I just think without KDB there to kick off the season, he'll put trust in someone like Foden and he'll get game time and he'll get goals and assists, I think.
They've got the Super Cup, haven't they, though? Game week 2, is it? Just before game week 2?
Yeah, I know. But the fixtures are there, aren't they, for City, in my opinion. So I've gone largely with the fixtures, right? Because I've gone Gabby, Jesus and Saka as well as my Arsenal players because their fixtures are good as well. I'm not entirely wed to Gabriel Jesus. I mean, at the moment, he's in there. He's 8 million. You know, could it be a Nunes if we see a bit of Nunes in pre-season? It absolutely could be. Could it be a bit of Nkunku? But again, both of those, to me, represent a bit of a risk over Gabriel Jesus, who I consider less of a risk. But I don't like it because we've seen how wasteful he can be in front of goal, right? For 8 million, you want a pretty nailed on goal scorer, but he can be a bit wasteful. Anyway, Saka is in there for me. I genuinely think Saka is probably 0.5 or a million underpriced. I think at 8.5, he's really good value.
I fully expected 9 for Saka.
Yeah, me too.
I fully expected. When I saw Ødegaard was 8.5, I was like, Saka's 9, 9.5.
Yeah.
And at 9, I'd have been happy with 9. At 9.5, I'd have been like, yeah, that's probably fair.
Yeah.
When I saw that he was 8.5, I was like, hello, Mr. Yeah. Arsenal penalty taker, get in my team.
Yeah, absolutely. So I do like Saka. Not saying the other two are bad picks, they're not. And I think you're going to save a little bit of money if you go with Martinelli, right? But still, I think Saka's probably the one to have. Again, another young English player that I just love watching that could have another breakout season. And there we go. We've talked about Estupinan. We've talked about Reece James. Trent is in there, no doubt. It was the second name on my team sheet. So, feels a bit template, but is what it is. It will change between now and game week 1, no doubt about it. I've gone for Brian Mbeumo. I don't love it. I don't love it. Might go somewhere else. I don't love Gabriel Jesus. But apart from that, I mean, the defence, for me, I wasn't really ever considering anything other than Trent. I mean, Trent and Estupinan, as soon as I totally think Estupinan is a bargain. And Botman, and then a 4.0, the only one I even even put any thought into was Reece James, really. The others just pick themselves, I think. And yeah, you can talk about Gabriel if you want, but if you really want to invest in the Arsenal defence, you get Aaron Ramsdale. And I've seen a lot of teams go with Aaron Ramsdale in goal as the premium keeper for that reason, right? Because there's other options in defence. On my watch list, we've talked about Maddison, definitely on my watch list, without a doubt. I would love to get from Mbeumo up to Maddison, but I don't know how I'm going to do that. Maybe I go down from Jesus to a 7, but I don't like any of the 7 options.
Really,
I like the
7.5
options. So do I nick another 0.5 out of the keepers or the defence somewhere to pay for that? I don't know. Gibbs White, eyes on him as well. You know, had a good championship with England, and I think he's good value at 6 million, could have a good season. So my watch list genuinely is way bigger than that, is the reality. But that's my team. That's my team. What are we saying? Too template? Too obvious? Is that okay at the beginning of the season?
Well, no. I mean, I think there has to be some elements of caution with your game week one team, because the last thing you want is to get it so badly wrong that you have to wildcard that early.
Yeah.
So you have to be cautious, but I also think that you have to take the potential gifts and run with them.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a lot of players in that team that you've gone, well, they were good last season. Rather than looking at the prices for the players that they've got this season, which is what I've tried to do, maybe not very well, but I've tried to look at the ones that have got the potential for this season at the price point, even if they didn't have the best season last year, or even if they're new to the game, to try to give myself that.
Right, it's a nice segue over to yours then. So here we go. Sam, game week one. Go on then, talk us through it.
So I've got the same goalkeepers. If you, they rotate so nicely.
They do. Them two picked themselves
a
little
bit
as well.
Yeah.
Together,
and they're, yeah, they're save points galore, plus Pickford's, you know, going to have whole season under dice, so fine. Like you, I've also got Trent and James. I hate myself for the James pick, and I'm probably
going to... We're all going there again, aren't we?
Well, I don't know that I am, actually. I am probably going to move to Chilwell, because I feel very... I'm just not confident with Reece James at all. He never performs well for me, so I think I might just go to Chilwell from the start instead. And then Saliba, who I think is the standout of the fives. I just really like him. Unless he's, for some reason, still carrying a bit of that injury from the back end of last season, but I'm not seeing that in any of the stuff I'm seeing. And then I've gone with Connor Roberts as my 4.5 from Burnley, because his attacking threat was great last season. Burnley were really solid defensively.
Not over Botman, though.
Over Botman?
No.
Yeah.
Come on.
No. How often are you going to play Botman?
How often are you going to play Connor Roberts?
Correct. Not very. So I would prefer to have somebody like Burnley for the first 5 weeks than I would Newcastle. And then on wildcard, I might change it. And then I've also got Bell. But again, I am slightly reluctant to have Bell now. Everybody loves him, because
it'll be 3.9
I worry he's going to be 3.9 before we know it. So he might end up being somebody else just to cover that. So that's the defence.
Darwin in there. Like it on the back of the conversation we've just had.
Yeah, but I'm reading for the podcast as the whole team. So
sorry, podcasters.
So in midfield, I've gone Bruno Fernandes. I've got Mbeumo as well. I've gone with with James Maddison I don't think I've been this excited about a Spurs player in a very very long time.
That's annoying. Annoying you've got him.
I've also gone Saka, but I am tempted for him to be Martinelli because of the 0.5 saving that you can have there. And then I've gone with Gibbs White because...
Like that as well.
So basically what I've tried to do with my defence and my midfield is pick one player from every price point. So in my midfield, I've got Saka at 8.5 and Bruno in also at the same price. Then I've got Maddison at 7.5. I've got Mbeumo at 6.5. And then I've got Gibbs White at 6 to allow as much flexibility as possible across that midfield.
Like it.
Gibbs White's fixtures for the opening few weeks are horrible. But how often am I actually going to play him? I'm not entirely sure. That's why I've done that. Yeah. And then up top, I've got Haaland, of course. Currently, I've got Darwin. And then I've got...
Like that as well.
I wanted to have some way of investing in Brighton. I'm not sure that João Pedro is the right one. He is their record signing. I don't know how many minutes he's going to get. He's going to obviously rotate with Ferguson. I can't afford Ferguson because he's 0.5
more. Do you not
think
Pedro plays wide, Ferguson plays middle?
I think there's
he?
The potential that Pedro plays wide. I don't like him so much out wide.
I think Ferguson's a one, isn't he? If you can afford it, but it's 0.5.
But it's 0.5, so I'd have to have Martinelli over Saka, or I'd have to maybe go drop down from Bruno Fernandes to Mason Mount to enable me to do that.
Yeah.
So there's all of those possibilities. I'm going to watch Brighton's preseason carefully. I am not buying into the Matoma love in the same way that a lot of people are. He ended the season really badly last year.
It's only because he was knackered. He'll have a full pre-season. He'll be fit and firing again, won't he?
And then playing European football and being knackered again.
Yeah, but you've got to get over this European football thing. It doesn't start for about 2 months, does it?
Well, it starts in the beginning of September, doesn't it? I'm not feeling massively the Brighton love, I've got to be honest.
Right, okay.
But Jean Pedro, I kind of like having somebody in that 5.
Good player, great signing, I think.
Let's just see. I mean, like, there was a suggestion that maybe they got Pedro because they thought that Matoma might eventually leave, because he was linked with loads of people, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And then maybe he was going to play in that position, and if he did, then that makes him a better option. I'm not convinced. I think that Ferguson is the best option. I don't have the 0.5 currently.
Okay.
I could make Roberts, on the basis of all the things I've just said about how I'm really never going to play my fourth defender, the thing I could do is take Roberts down to Bayer at Burnley, keep the Burnley defender, have a 4.0.
That seems, yeah.
And then have Ferguson instead.
Yeah.
So that is, there's the potential for that. And that's the easy way around it. But I'm just going to watch what Brighton do in pre-season and go from there. Because the other thing about this team is that there's no Harry Kane.
Yes.
So
yes.
I love this team.
So is Madison in there as a bit of a, I've got to have some Spurs in there because I've not got Harry.
Are you just going to turn into Jules and start having a go at me about this? Because he asked me that question as well. No. Madison's in there because genuinely I think...
He's a standalone good pick. No
on
doubt.
His own.
No doubt.
I would like to have Kane and Madison for the opening few weeks, but I think that might be too heavy, Spurs. But what I will say is that the more I look at this team, which I put together on Monday night, the more I love it. There's a few players in there that are slightly risky.
That's FPL though, isn't it? You have a João Pedro and you have a Darwin, don't you? That's the fun of it.
And a Madison and these players that could be, and that's why I think I want to go Chilwell with
Madison's
James.
Not a punt. Madison is a really nice pick.
So I really like this team. The thing I don't like is that it doesn't have Kane, and I don't really like the fact that there's no standout premium in the middle either, because I like flexibility. The thing that I've always been really sure about with my FPL teams, particularly since we started FPL Family, has been always start with the premium in every position, because in doing that you allow yourself the flexibility that if you've made a mistake you can move on from it.
Yeah.
And
it's so hard
though. And it's so hard this year that I just don't think I can get there. I can get Darwin to Kane. It's doable. It means
what's the compromise?
It means a lot of compromises.
Yeah.
So it means I will have to
You've got to have a Jules Leroy star midfield with Curtis Jones and others, right?
I don't think it's quite that bad. I think you know, so I can take 1.5 million out of Bruno Fernandes by having Mason Mount. I can take João Pedro down further and have a non-playing like you've done.
Yeah.
There in that position. I can...
That gets you 2.5.
I can strip 0.5 out of Roberts.
Roberts to Bayer. That gives you 3.
I can take another 0.5 by losing Pickford. So I'm, but this is the thing, right? I am literally going 0.5 from you, 0.5 from you, 0.5 from you. And the whole team feels compromised because there's no easy way. Like, I have to make compromises everywhere in order to do that. The one thing I did look at quite seriously was a draft that didn't have Haaland, but it had both Salah and Kane and Trent.
And then you scrapped it?
No, it's still sitting on my phone.
Put it in the bin. Put it in the bin. You want to not have Haaland?
Well, I don't want to not do any of these things. Let's be clear.
If you go to Fest and it's the City game on TV and the whole room is Captain Haaland, because you know the whole room is Captain Haaland, and you're sitting there without him in your team at all.
That's why the draft I've sent you is this one and not the one where it's got Kane.
Wow.
Because it's got...
That's what you should have sent me. The one with Kane and Salah, just for clicks.
It's got Trent.
You clickbaited it.
It's got Hart.
I could have put it in the thumbnail. Sam going without Haaland.
It's got Trent.
It's like FPL Harry at 30,000 views.
It's got Salah. It's got Kane. It's got Foden. Like, it's got... It looks really, really nice.
I bet it does, but you got no Haaland.
But then I look at it and go, but where's Erling gone?
Forget that. Mm. Not doing it. Not doing
so
it.
So that's where I am.
So there we go, guys. Those are the teams. Lots that's going to change between now and game week one, for sure. No doubt about it. But that is where our heads are at right now. A quick shout out before we go for Fantasy Football Fest.
Oh, it's Duncan.
Duncan, there he is. We've got a little slideshow here from Fantasy Football Fest.
Azzy.
That happened this time last year, where we met a load of our Patreon followers, a load of you that follow us here, right here on YouTube, some of the Twitter community as well. You were on stage for a bit. Kelly was on stage for a bit. And we met with Holly and Raptor and everybody else was there. It is a great event. If you can get to London for Fantasy Football Fest this August, what is the date of it?
The 11th.
It's the date of kickoff. So when Burnley play Manchester City, the good and the great from the FPL community will be in this room in Waterloo in London. If you can, it would be great to see some of you down there. We've been for the last few over the last few seasons.
We've been to everyone. We're not
Mark and Ed and Gianni put on a show. It's really, really good fun. They have this photo booth thing where you can mess about and be silly. It was great. It is great if you can get down to it. Yeah, go check out at FFFest on Twitter and you can get all the details on how to buy tickets and all that sort of stuff over there. That is it for tonight's FPL Family Sam. This is my usual what is coming up this week slide. And normally, for this early on in the season, I wouldn't put this up. But you're so bloody busy at the minute doing stuff. I'm pretty sure there is stuff coming up this week. Is there another FPL pod this week or no?
No, there's not a pod this week.
Right, okay.
There is a pod coming up, but there's not one this week. So we're doing a few in pre... Keep the mic again. Sorry, podders, if that made a loud noise and everything else. There are a couple more coming up in pre-season, so they'll be back. And I suppose we'll be back doing Ohana's and stuff soon as well.
Nearer the season, we'll be doing some Ohana's, yeah. Are we allowed to say that we'll be on Sky again this season? Are we going to announce that? Yeah, let's announce that.
Why is it with you? You're just announcing things tonight.
It's not really announcing. It's, you know, it is what it is. So Sky are going to continue doing their show. They're in Sky Sports News in the half an hour before the lead-up to deadline. That's going to continue this season. We're going to be on it. Not every week. They've got some other pundits and stuff coming in, but we're going to be doing some of that. The FPL show is back, as we mentioned before, as we announced live on FPL Family. So we're going to be doing a bit of that. You're going to be on the podcast. I'm going to be trying the TikTok again because I sort of fell off after the World Cup, sort of lost interest a bit. Going to be trying the TikTok again.
Max will be back for his second season of FPL.
Max will be back for his second season of FPL. Are we getting Evie involved this season?
Well, I asked her that. I said, Evie, do you want a team? And she went, who's helping me, mummy or daddy? I said, well, that'll be up for debate.
She was a bit jealous that Max got his little trophy and stuff, wasn't she?
She was a bit...
She wanted him.
She was a bit upset every time we got back from Sky that Max had got another shout out on Sky and she hadn't.
She was like, Max got talked about on TV and I didn't. I want to play FPL. Okay.
So we might end up with a Bonfield League with the four of us in. You nice. Might end up coaching one and I might end up coaching the other.
Nice. Okay, good.
But Max
we'll
is
see
back.
How that goes. We'll see how that goes. Maybe for the new season coming up, we will introduce that as a sort of, I don't know, Black Box did that kind of apprentice thing, didn't they? With Mark and Az, they had these couple of
you're
players.
You're not going to be able to cut, like, Evie's, Max, you can have a sensible football conversation. Yeah. Evie's going to pick them based upon the colour of their shirt or something ridiculous.
Yeah. Any teams playing in pink? Is there any fancy away shirts?
Oh, probably.
Probably. She will just pick them. Guys, well, thank you for, as I said, well done for getting through it. Well done for getting through it. It's been an hour and a half. We've been
prattling
on for absolute nonsense.
I have
as usual.
Loved being back.
It's been absolutely brilliant to be back.
I'm quite hot now.
I am hot sitting in this room. It is quite muggy here in the UK. I'm hoping for a bit of a thunderstorm next couple of days so we can get rid of this heat. But listen, been great to be back. Great to speak to you all. Thank you, everybody in the chat. We're going to be back as usual, Sunday nights, 8:30. Usual slot, guys. Hit that subscribe button. We might not be back for a couple of weeks. I'd suggest we'll give FPL a bit of time to breathe. But then we'll be back pretty regularly as we get towards the start of the season with more drafts, more updates on what we're doing outside of FPL Family. So, guys, leave us a like before you go. Hit that subscribe button ready for the new season to start. And we'll see you next time. Cheers.
Bye, guys.